But we welcome you this morning. We appreciate everybody being in the house of the Lord. It's good to have you here. If you want to share the reading of God's word with me, I'm going to ask you to turn over to the book of Isaiah. And we are going to read from Isaiah chapter 41, beginning with the 10th verse and ending with the 10th verse. I'm going to preach out of that one verse of scripture today. So Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 10. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 10. God speaks through the prophet Isaiah, and God says, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. I ask that you would bow your heads together, and we will pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to enable us to minister His word. Father, we are so grateful to be able to gather here in the house of the Lord and in your name this morning. Thank you for the promise that when we gather in your name, that you are in our midst. And Lord, we have enjoyed worshiping and we have enjoyed singing and making melody unto you and worshiping your name this morning through song. And we have felt your presence. And we come now to the reading of your word. We come now to the preaching of the word of God. And I readily admit of my own self, Lord, I am incapable. I am inadequate. And therefore, God, I would ask you that you would allow your anointing to rest upon my heart. I pray that you would put your thoughts in my mind and your word in my mouth and help me to speak as you would have me to speak. And I pray, Father God, that the word that goes forth this morning would go forth with clarity and with understanding and with power. Let it fall upon ears that are touched of God to receive. I pray above all things, Lord, that you will glorify your name and that you will edify those that listen to this message, whether they listen here in the auditorium or whether they listen by way of the internet. I ask that you would give us understanding. Encourage us now with your word. And for all of these things, we will be eternally grateful. We ask them in the mighty and awesome name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. So this morning, I want to title my message, Five Things That We Do Not Have to Be. Five things that we do not have to be. As a pastor and a minister of the gospel, I find myself often preaching about the things that we need to be as a believer. Can you say amen? Often I find myself talking about the things that we do need to be in order to have a fruitful walk with God. We need to be faithful and steadfast and unmovable. Often I find myself preaching about our need to be committed and devoted and unwavering in our walk with the Lord. But this past week, as the Lord brought me to this passage of Scripture, He began to deal with my heart not about what we need to be, but what we do not need to be. What we do not need to be. And I don't know if you have ever thought about that this morning, but as a believer, there are some things that we do need to be, and then there are some things that we do not need to be. So this morning, I just want to take a few moments and share with you what the Lord placed on my heart and in my spirit about what we do not need to be. The text this morning that we have shared is a powerful piece of scripture. It was given by God to the prophet Isaiah to ancient Israel. And at the time that this prophecy came forth, Israel was in a very difficult state. They were in a very difficult situation. They were returning from Babylonian captivity, and they are coming back to the city of Jerusalem, and they are in a very difficult spot. And God says to them, he says, don't be concerned about your difficulty. Don't be concerned about the situation that is facing you. For I am your God. I am your source. I am your source of encouragement. I am your source of strength. I am your source. I am your provider. I am your provider. Stop being afraid. How many of you know oftentimes when we face difficulties and we face circumstances in our own life, often we look this way and we look that way and we are searching to try to find the answer. And God would have us to know this morning, I am your God. Stop searching this way and that way and just simply look unto me. I am your source. He tells them that they are to stop looking this way and that way in fear, because God says, I am your God. I find the text this morning to be so powerful because the word that we read, it reveals to us the character and the nature of God when we are going through difficult times. I mean, it's one thing to be going through a difficult situation and somebody just go, oh, well. But it's another thing to be going through a difficult situation and someone come alongside of you and let you know that they are concerned. That they are concerned about your need. Our scripture this morning shows us the character and the nature of God. Because when God shows up and when God speaks, he says, I know your trouble. I know the problem that you have, but don't be afraid. I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. It shows to us that God is concerned. And I want to tell you this morning that we need to understand that the same promises that were given to ancient Israel belong to you and I through our new covenant through Jesus Christ. Amen. That same word that God speaks to them, he speaks to us during our time of need. During our time of testing and during our time of trial, that same word that God spoke to them, he says to them, I am your God. Do not fear. I am your God. Don't be afraid. I am here to help. I am here to encourage. I am here to strengthen. I am here to uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. What a wonderful God we serve. And in that one little verse, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me this last week about some things that we do not need to be. So this morning, I ask you to consider the five things that the Lord placed upon my heart from this one verse. The first thing that we do not need to be, as we are going through difficult times and as we are going through difficult situations, the first thing that we do not need to be is that we do not need to be afraid. How many of you know that fear can literally grip your heart and just keep you in bondage? I will tell you that there are times that the spirit of fear will try to latch onto our heart and our mental capacity and just put us in a cage. If we allow it, fear will dominate our life. Let me tell you this morning that faith and fear are exactly opposites. And we are either going to walk in faith or we are going to walk in fear. Hello? We are either going to walk in the confidence that our God is our God and that He is able to deliver us, or we are going to walk in fear. And I came to tell somebody this morning that you do not have to be afraid. You do not have to be afraid. Now, I know, amen, on the surface, that sounds a bit simplistic. I know for a moment that sounds a little bit simplistic, but I just want you to stop and think about it for a moment. Have you ever been afraid? Have you ever been afraid? And then you got a comforting word. Do you remember how it lifted your spirit? Let me just share with you a personal testimony. I don't even remember how long ago it has been. But we got ready for bed one night, my wife and I, and my wife looked at me and she said, "Are you all right?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." "Why?" She said, "Something is wrong with your eye." I said, "Really? What do you mean?" She said, "I don't know. Something is wrong with this side of your face." I got up, looked in the mirror, and sure enough, this side wasn't working. And I said, she said, "I'm going to check the internet real quick and see if you've had a stroke." I said, "I don't think I've had a stroke." She sent me through a bunch of little tests, and I said, "No, I think it's Bell's palsy." So we went ahead and went to bed that night. Next morning, she said, "You got to go see the doctor." I said, "I ain't going to the see. I'm not going. I don't like doctors that much." I said, "No, I'm not going." 3 days later, she finally convinced me I better go see the doctor. So the doctor said to me, "You have a slight case of Bell's palsy." It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. I could smile. This side was just nothing. And this side would just... It was like I'd been Botoxed on one side. I said, "Well, you know, what can you do about it? Nothing. You know, so the doctor gave me some kind of steroid stuff, and so I was supposed to take, and you know how the enemy is. He will jump on your shoulder and say, "It ain't gonna get any better. It's not gonna get any better." I continued to go to work. I spoke like an individual that had this side of the face that didn't work. My words were slurred. I got a phone call, and it was someone asking me to come and preach a revival, and I booked it. I booked the revival, and the devil said to me when I booked the revival, "Now what are you going to do? You're going to get up there, and you are going to talk like you have been drinking Jack Daniels all night long. Now what are you going to do?" I said, "I am going to preach the word of the Lord. I don't know when it's going to clear up. I don't know how it's going to clear up, but I believe that God has got it under control." I got in my truck one morning and I'm headed to work. I'm driving down the road and I was just praying. And I said to the Lord, I said, "You know, God, it had been about almost 2-3 months. I said, "Lord, I really need you to help me with this, you know." And the enemy jumped on my shoulder and said, "What if it doesn't get any better?" And immediately, and I could still almost feel it now, immediately the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to my heart, and God only said just these words, "I got you. I got you. I am here to tell you what, it changed my heart." All he had to say was, "I got you." And I didn't know when, I didn't know where, I didn't know how, but I knew that I was in the hand of the Lord and that somehow God was going to make a difference. Amen. I came to tell somebody this morning, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what kind of difficulty you're facing, but I got some good news. You do not have to be afraid. If you are a blood-bought, born-again child of the living God, you are blood-washed. You are the apple of his eye this morning, and you are the affection of his heart, and God will take care of you. Hallelujah. We got visitors here this morning. I ought to be, you know, a little more reserved. I learned a long time ago, you might as well just be who you are. Hello? Thank God, I'm telling you this morning, you do not have to be afraid. Fear will rob you of your joy. Fear will rob you of your peace of mind. Fear will rob you of your heart. Amen. Fear will rob you in every area of your life. But I got some good news this morning. You do not have to be afraid. Amen. Because God is on our side. You do not have to be afraid because he said, I am your God. Fear not, for I am with you. Amen. Now, it's one thing to face something alone, but it's a whole nother ballgame to face something with somebody else. Especially that somebody else being God. Can you say amen? Let me just share with you some scriptures this morning. Amen. We live in a world that is filled with trouble and fear. We live in a world this morning that is filled with troublesome times. We look around and there is uncertainty in the financial markets. There is uncertainty in the stability of nations. There is uncertainty this morning with civil unrest, even in the streets of America. We are a little sheltered from a lot of that mess because we live in Little Emmett, Idaho. But I'm telling you what, this morning, there is civil unrest in the streets of our own nation today. There are natural disasters, hurricanes and floods and earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars and on we could go. If you get to looking at the things that are going on in the world, fear could easily get a hold of your spirit. Fear could easily get a hold of your heart. I read the other day that there are more anxiety attacks and panic attacks and more individuals having anxiety and panic attacks in our world today than ever before. And I believe that it is because of some of the things that we see going on in the world today. But let me just give you some scripture here this morning. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 27 and verse number 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The psalmist is telling us that if the Lord is our light and our salvation, then we do not have to be fearful. We do not have to be afraid. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 25 said, the fear of man brings a snare, but whosoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7 said that we can cast all of our care, all of our anxiety, all of our worry, all of our fearfulness. We can cast all of our care upon him because he cares for us. You do not have to be fearful this morning, and you do not have to be afraid. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 says, God says to the children of Israel, and he says to us, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid. For the Lord thy God, it is he that doth go with thee, and he will not fail you, and he will not forsake you. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse number 4, the Bible says, say unto them that are fearful of heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come, and he will save you. Isaiah 41 and verse 13, God said, for I, the Lord thy God, will uphold thee with my right hand, saying, fear not, for I will help you. Luke 12 and 32, Jesus said, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give give you the keys of the kingdom. Amen. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7 that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. I came to tell you today, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Even in fearful, troubling times, God says, fear thou not, for I am with you. I am with you. He is, the Bible said, Emmanuel, God with us. And listen to what he says in Hebrews 13 and 5. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. He says in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number, chapter 20, verse number 28, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. We are never forsaken. We are never abandoned, and we are never left alone. He is with us. And therefore, we do not have to be afraid. I came to tell you this morning, do not allow the enemy to dominate your heart and dominate your spirit with a spirit of fear. Do not allow the enemy to control your thoughts and your mind with a spirit of fear. Fear thou not. The second thing that he says to them as they are going through their trouble, he says to them, be not dismayed. Be not dismayed, because I am your God. And again, I know on the surface it seems relatively unimportant, but in order to really understand the importance of that one little line, be not dismayed, we need to understand the definition of the meaning of the word dismayed. So let me share that with you today. Daniel Webster says that the word dismay means to destroy courage or to destroy resolve by inciting dread or apprehension, to cause one to lose heart or enthusiasm, a sudden or complete loss of courage in the face of trouble or danger. We need to understand this morning that when the enemy comes against us, he is coming against us to destroy our courage. He is coming against us to destroy our excitement and our inspiration for life. He would love nothing more than to rob us of our courage and our confidence and our resolve to live for God. He's done it to millions. But God says, be not dismayed. We do not have to be dismayed. The second thing, we do not have to be dismayed. What God is saying is, do not allow trouble and do not allow hardships to rob you of your courage. Do not allow circumstances and situations in your life to rob you of the excitement and the zeal to live a godly life. Why? Because the God of heaven, not a God, little g, the God of heaven, the one that put the stars in the space, the one that called him by name, the one that said, let there be, and there was. That God is your God. That God is my God. There is nothing too hard for our God. You may have come up against something you can't move. You may have come up against a circumstance that you can't change. But that God is our God, and there is nothing that he cannot change. So don't be dismayed. We must never lose heart. We may be experiencing hardship in our life, and we may be walking a path of testing and trial, and we may this morning have even gotten a bad report from the doctor. But really, I'm going to tell you this morning, we need to believe the report of the Lord instead of the report of the enemy. Can you say amen? I come to tell somebody today, you do not have to be dismayed. We must never lose heart, and we must never lose hope, and we must not ever be dismayed, and we must not ever be apprehensive about our future, because we know who holds the future. We may look around the world and it is an uncertain place, but oh, thanks be unto God. If you belong to Him, you're going to be all right. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse number 1, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house were many mansions. If it were not so," He said, "I would have told you. But," He said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." And He said, "And if I go to prepare a place for you, then I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." We may look around at a troubled world and a world that's full of trouble and anxiety, but I got news for you. If you're a blood-bought, born-again child of the living God, look up. Your redemption is drawing nigh. Look up, because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is about to come and take His church away. Hallelujah. You do not have to be dismayed. Let me move on. The third thing that we do not have to be, the third thing that God says to them, He says, while they're walking through trouble, while they're walking through difficulty, He says, "I will strengthen thee." Now, I mean, you know, it's one thing to do something in your own strength, but it is another thing to have supernatural strength of the Holy Spirit come alongside you and do what you cannot do. Hello? We all have limited strength and we all have limited capacity. But I am going to tell you something this morning. When the anointing of the Holy Ghost comes, He enables us to do what we cannot do on our own. He enables us to do what we cannot do. The psalmist David said, "By His Spirit, I have run through a troop and leapt over a wall." David was saying, when the anointing of the Holy Ghost hit me, it made me do things that I wasn't capable of doing on my own. It gave me supernatural ability. Ask Samson about that. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. When the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God says, "I will strengthen you." How does He do that? By the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever become weary? Have you ever felt like you were faint? The good news that I want to bring to you this morning is God declares that He will strengthen us. God said to the Apostle Paul, as Paul was going through a difficult time in his life, God said to him, "My grace is sufficient, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness." I love that. My strength, God said, is made perfect in your weakness. In other words, God takes our inability and gives us capability. That's powerful. That's powerful. The Bible said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13, and I love this verse. You can find it on plaques, on the walls of, you know, I mean, of gift shops and all that thing. It says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." If we'd get it off of the plaque on the wall and get it into our heart, it would change our life.
I, not somebody else, but I can do all things, not some things, but all things. How? Through Christ, who gives me the divine ability to do it. Isaiah 40 and 28, and this is one of my favorite verses. I should say favorite few verses. Isaiah 40 and 28 through 31. The prophet says, hast thou not known? I love the way he puts it. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not faint and he does not become weary. In other words, God does not get tired. Scripture said he never sleeps and he never slumbers. He never wears out. In him there is no weakness. There is no kryptonite. Think about it. You'll get that tomorrow. Amen. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? That the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not faint and he does not grow weary. He gives power to the faint. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall utterly faint, and even the youth shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The scripture goes on to say they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm telling you this morning, we do not have to be weak because God is our source of strength. Sometimes we just don't know how much we can take or how much we can do, amen, because we ain't been through it before. But with his Holy Spirit, we can endure a whole lot. Can you say amen? Amen. Because he can give us strength. When we are feeling overwhelmed, when we are feeling exhausted, when we are feeling depleted, and when we are feeling like we are out of gas, I got good news for you. You do not have to be weak because Jesus Christ is our strength. Number four, the fourth thing that we do not have to be, the fourth thing that he says to them as they are going through their situation and their trial is he says to them, I will help. I will help. Have you all ever needed some help? If we're honest with ourselves, a lot of times we're like, no, I got this. I got this. Well, let me just tell you, if you live long enough, you're going to come up against some stuff you ain't got. You're going to face some stuff that you ain't got. You ain't got an answer for it. You don't even know how to pray about it. God said, that's all right. That's all right. You're not helpless. You do not have to be helpless because I will help you. Let me just tell you this morning, when we need help, we have help down on the inside. How? By his Holy Spirit. By his Holy Spirit. Here's what the Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse number 16. Jesus said, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he will abide with you forever. Now that's the King James. That's the Old English. Let me read it to you from the God's Word translation. Jesus said, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper. Another helper. Who will be with you forever. That word comforter and helper is the same. A parakletos in the Greek. It means one that is just like me. What Jesus was saying was, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged because I am going to pray to the Father and I am going to give you another parakletos. I'm going to give you one that is just like me. And he's not just going to be with you, but he is going to be in you.
So what I'm saying this morning is that when we are going through hardships and when we are going through troubles and we are going through trials, if we are a blood-bought, born-again, spirit-filled child of the living God, we got some help down on the inside. We don't have to be helpless. Amen. We got some help down on the inside. We got some comfort down on the inside. We've got one that will come with us and in us and alongside of us and give us divine, holy capability that is not our own. We are not helpless. Amen. Jesus said, when this Holy Spirit comes, you will be endued with power from on high. Acts chapter 2, verse number, or chapter 1, verse number 8. Jesus said, and after that, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You will be witnesses unto me. He said, you're going to receive power. You're going to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And that word power in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, that word power in the Greek is dunamis. And it means power like a stick of dynamite. Let that sink into your spirit for a moment. Too many of God's people are going through trouble and going through trial, and they're going through it with their tail between their legs, with their ears laid back, look like they lost their last friend. That is not a picture of the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, if you've got the Holy Spirit down on the inside of you, you ought to be like a stick of dynamite ready to go off at any moment. You may be facing hardship, and you may be facing trouble and trial, but you have got some power and some help down on the inside of you by the way of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We do not have to be helpless because God has promised that in our inability, He will give us the anointing of the Holy Spirit to help us. Last but not least, and I will close with my fifth point. The fifth thing that we do not have to be is we do not have to be downfallen. We do not have to be downfallen. Look what he says in the very last line of verse number 10. He says, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Okay, preacher, I don't get it. Well, if you get a picture of it, I hope it'll make you shout like a Baptist. Hello? If you get it, so here's the picture. I shook this mama's little hand this morning as she was carrying the baby in, and I looked at that sweet little baby, and I told her, I said, I don't think mine were ever that little. And I'm pretty sure I never was. They tell me I weighed 913, so I don't know. But I want you to think in terms of your little ones. When my boys were small and they were learning how to walk, I would get a hold of their hands. And there was no way in the world I was going to let them fall. They may stumble and they may stagger and swerve, but I got a hold of them. And there is no way that their daddy was going to let them fall and bust their nose on the corner of the coffee table. They did enough of that all on their own. Right? So I want you to stop and think about that for a moment this morning. That is a picture of our God. He said, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. You may stumble, you may stagger, you may slip, but I have got a hold of you. And I am not about to let you fall. I'm not about to let you go down. I got to hold it. We do not this morning. We do not have to be downfallen. What a joy to know that God has a hold of our hand. Amen. What a joy it is to know that our Heavenly Father has taken a hold of our hand and He is upholding us with the right hand of His righteousness. We may be unsure of our next step and we may be stumbling and faltering, but oh, thank God He has a hold of each one of us by His right hand. Now that right hand is a picture. It's symbolic of power. Those of you that are right-handed know that your right hand is stronger than your left because you use the right hand. It is a symbol of power. In other words, we are upheld by the power and the authority of God. We are upheld by the authority and the power of God. Whenever you read the word right hand in the scripture, He's seated at the right hand of God. And you see that symbolic statement. He's talking about He's been seated at the right hand of the power of God. He's been given all authority. He's been given all power. And that same nailed, scarred hand this morning is the same hand that is holding you and I. We do not have to be downfallen. The Bible tells us in Jude. I was going to say chapter 1, verse 24, but there's only one chapter. In Jude, the Bible says, "Now unto Him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." He's saying that there is a hand that is able to keep us from ever falling. What is that hand? The right hand of His righteousness. There is none of us righteous in our own sight, but He has given us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He took our sin and our unrighteousness away and gave us His righteousness, His right standing with God the Father. That's what He's given to us this morning. And He upholds us with the right hand of His righteousness and His justice and authority and power. We do never have to be downfallen in our spirit because He is the one holding us up. Now let's read that verse this morning one more time all together. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. We do not have to be afraid. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. We don't have to be dismayed. He says, I will strengthen thee. We do not have to be weak. I will help thee. Amen. We do not have to be helpless. And then He says, and I will uphold thee with the right hand of My righteousness. We do not have to be downfallen. We do not have to be discouraged. We do not have to be downfallen in our heart. Even in the worst of times, even when we are going through hardships, and even when we are going through hard times in our life, believers do not have to be dismayed or frightened or oppressed of the enemy. Even when the enemy seems stronger than we are. How many of you know the giant looked a whole lot stronger than that little shepherd boy? But He said, you come to Me with a shield and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Hello? Amen. Even though the enemy looks stronger, we do not have to be afraid. We do not have to be weary. Even when we stumble and falter before the enemy, the Lord, like a father, is holding us upright to keep us on our feet. And I close with this thought this morning, that the promise that God gave to ancient Israel, the promise that God gave to ancient Israel applies to every generation of believers. It belongs to you and I this morning. So the next time you are feeling the pinch of circumstances, and the next time that you feel the enemy breathing down the nape of your neck, the next time that you feel like you are about to faint, and the next time that you feel that you are about to fall, and the next time that you feel afraid, remember this one verse, Isaiah 41:10. Remember, there are some things that you do need to be, but there are some things that you do not have to be. Bow your heads, please. There are some things that you do not have to be. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be dismayed. I don't have to lose heart. I don't have to lose my zeal and my zest for life. I don't have to be helpless. I don't have to be weak. I don't have to be downfallen. Because God, the God of old, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. My God is with me. He upholds me. He strengthens me. He helps me. He is my source. Heavenly Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus this morning that you will take the words that we have endeavored to speak here to this congregation today. And I pray, oh God, that you will let it be embedded deep in their spirit and deep in their hearts. And God, by these words, I pray that you would give them some encouragement and some comfort and some joy and some zeal and remove the apprehension and the anxiety and the worry and the fear and the weight and the doubt. I move all of that mess and give them some joy in their heart this morning. For there are some things that we do not have to be. It is our inheritance in you. Speak to every heart this morning, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you here this morning would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I've been feeling kind of weak. I've been feeling kind of downfallen. I've been feeling kind of, yeah, God sees some hands going up. I've been feeling some of these things, and I realize today I don't have to be. Are there any more hands? You'd slip it up, say, yeah, that's me. There, there, and there. There. Stand to your feet this morning. The Bible said that his people, God's people, are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. What do you mean, Pastor Gary? I'm saying take the word that you have heard this morning and by that word do warfare with the enemy. By that word do warfare with fear, with doubt. Look the enemy right in the eye and tell him, I don't have to be downfallen. I don't have to be weak. I don't have to be helpless. I don't have to be afraid because my God is with me. My God strengthens me. My God helps me. My God is my source. He never changes, and what he said then still applies now. And as you go through this next week, I pray in the mighty name of the Lord today, as you go through this next week, that when that spirit of fear and discouragement and doubt and comes upon your heart and tries to bring you back into submission and bring you back into bondage, I pray that you will shake off those heavy bands and lift up some holy hands and begin to magnify the Lord and tell the Lord, I'm grateful that I don't have to be afraid, and I'm grateful that I don't have to be helpless and weak. I'm thankful that I don't have, amen, to be discouraged because my God is with me. Hallelujah. Let me pray with the hands that have been lifted. Father, in Jesus' name, touch those here this morning that slipped up their hand. Let them leave changed by the power of God and by the knowledge of your word. by the knowledge of your word. Lord Jesus, you said we will know the truth and the truth will make us free. And the truth is that there are some things that we do not have to be. Let us receive that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Go ahead and say.